All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, around the world, on the American Forces Radio Network. It is Tuesdays, and it's time for a little SailSportTalk.com, and fresh off her fortnight in the Virgin Islands, first of all, Karen Lyle, welcome back to the studio.
Good to see you, Rick, in person.
Yes, and as I mentioned, too, our friend who's been in studio before, we have Walt Ranieri with us, and he is a champion blind sailor. How you doing?
Very well. It's so great to actually be in a situation where we can chat live.
Yeah, it is. And we'll share the Delta variant. Who cares? First of all, before we...
We've all been vaccinated. This is one thing.
Okay. Before we talk to our guest here, who's going to be with us two segments, Karen, give us a little... Because we had Patty in last 2 weeks. So it was great to have her. But tell us about your trip.
Well, it was warm, about 85 degrees. We had winds that were somewhere between 10 knots to 25 knots. And I got to experience a rather long white squall, which was actually really quite interesting, exciting, because it's warm. It was raining like sheets of rain, kind of like you'd have a flash flood kind of rain, but you're on a boat, it doesn't matter. And so I actually took a shower out on the bow before the lightning and thunder got so close that we had to go inside. It was a lightning-proof boat that had some system for adapting for lightning, but we didn't get struck. And it lasted about a couple hours, and then it was back to beautiful weather. It was really a great trip.
Very cool. So, Walt, can you just remind everybody? I mean, first of all, people here, blind sailor. Oh my gosh, how can you possibly? And I don't know how you get around. I mean, I have so much admiration and respect for you, even walking into this room and sitting down, much less sailing. So, there's a little background on yourself, please.
So, been blind for 16 years with a genetic retinal degenerative eye disease that I knew about when I was a five-year-old. Heard my mom talk to the doctor, and the doctor goes, yeah, you know, he's got the disease and he'll go blind someday. So what do you do with that when you're 5 years old?
Wow.
You walk out and go play. With that guillotine hanging over my head for 40 years, it finally fell. And what do you, you know, for all you out there that experience challenges in your life, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. There's going to be a challenge, and you have to adapt. It's all about adaptation. And so, you know, as a middle-aged guy in a professional career cranking it out, I had to go to Plan B. And we all are going to have to experience this in some form. Mm-hmm. And my Plan B was waking up and not being able to see and trying to figure out how to get on with my life. And there was this pivotal moment when I thought I was doing everything right. I ended up flat on the ground in the middle of a street with cars going around me because I hit, you know, my cane missed, but my foot didn't miss the rock. And I'm flat on my face, almost, you know, going to get run over. And that little voice in your head that talks to you when you're in difficult moments, and it says to me, get up, get moving. Because this can't be the rest of your life. This can't be it. And it was right then that I realized that I needed to stop being a poorly functioning sighted person and start be a highly functioning blind person. And from that moment on, everything got easier. I learned how to sail blind because I never really, you know, before then it was a matter of how do you open the bottle of wine and pour the hors d'oeuvres, you know, in the martini cups. That was sailing to me. And that's not what it is now. I think this whole pandemic has given us all an opportunity to experience the concept of adaptation. When you don't have a choice, it's amazing what kind of innovation, personal, professional, sports, can be achieved if you don't have a choice and you think that it's the right thing to do. And, you know, there are so many things that I can share with that, including the whole you can't get out on the boat. But finally, you would think, you know, that's one of the safer places. The bug's not going to be out there. And finally, in February, the YRA, the Yacht Racing Association of San Francisco, allowed two-handed sailing. So you could be two people on a boat because you could be just far enough apart – that you meet the local restrictions. And that race series just wrapped up 2.5 weeks ago. And I'm very proud to say that my teammate Ryan and I took first place in our division. Out of 208 sailors,
wow,
we were the only composite crew. I was the only adaptive sailor in the whole fleet. And some great stories came out of that.
Walt, we just spent the weekend over at the South Beach Yacht Club for the adaptive sailing instructors course that U.S. Sailing offers. And you were one of the people who was not just taking the course, but actually assisting in making it happen by taking people out on the sonar and instructing them as to how to sail with you as a blind sailor. You actually have a tool with you, I think, that you use. Can you describe that to us?
I do. So
maybe give one to Rick.
I'm going to reach out.
Okay.
Somewhere you're over there.
Got it.
Okay, so I want you to put those on.
Okay.
So these are blackout glasses that I'm required to race with when I'm on the helm. And Rick's now, he's my
you're looking good,
temporarily,
Rick.
He's my temporarily blind guy.
For people who don't know, these are like lowrider sunglasses with like cardboard in them, so I can't see a thing.
Yeah, E-tape on the inside.
Okay.
Some people, some of the racers put weird looking eyeballs on the outside to freak out the other people who can see, but it's all about being cool, right? And so Rick right now, he's the ultimate radio personality because you can only hear his voice anyway, and that's what's important. So I have to race with these things, and I took a bunch of experienced sailing instructors out. And I put them on the helm and
I was looking at the clock.
Oh. And
I'll watch it for you.
I had people wear these things, and it was, to overuse an expression, pun intended, an eye-opening experience for them. Because they instantly, it was this from being comfortable and calm to I could just feel their anxiety go up. And that's the fun part of adaptive sailing, is that once you get somebody into their growth zone, and this is something I'm sure you talk about a lot, but it's getting out of your comfort zone, stay below the panic zone, and in that growth zone, you can do amazing things professionally, athletically, recreationally. And I think that was a wonderful experience for some of these people who've never experienced sailing blind, with somebody else as their technician, making sure they're not going to hit anything. And, I was kind of the skipper on the boat, and that was a little freaky for them. The blind guy is skippering the boat. and that's where the comfort and trust comes from, and the confidence, which I think is really, really important. And
Walt, I want to give you an opportunity here, because I'm going to ask Rick to put his glasses on just for another couple of minutes. Can you interview Rick for a moment with his glasses on and ask him what question you've been dying to ask or whatever it might be?
Well, so what in your life, Rick, have you needed to, when faced with this some form of obstacle in your path on your journey, that you needed to adapt, that you needed to figure out another way to do something?
Just off the top of my head, I spent 10 years in television, and then they moved all the facilities to Long Island in 1999, and I was offered a job to be the technical director back there in sports television, and I didn't want to leave the Bay Area. So I had to figure if I wanted to stay in TV or do a whole, another whole career. And so I transitioned to radio then. That doesn't sound quite as challenging.
No, but it, but
as you've had, but I thought about being a teacher. I was a football coach for a while. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I know that pales in comparison.
But it's that adaptation, and that I think is the hallmark of the human experience. I think that one of the things that I enjoy doing with people, I say, here, put these on. Someone I've never met, I've actually met a few people, and I've asked them to wear eye shades, like sleeping shades, when we first meet, so that we can meet each other as human beings, because it's our minds that are connecting. That's the point. That's how human beings connect with one another. It's not necessarily what you look like. It's not how you dress, what your hair color is, what your skin color is. It's who's inside. And there's no better way to do that than to meet someone when you can't see them. And yet still have a robust experience. And so for me, that's me every day. So I challenge the readers out there, the next time you have an opportunity to you know, you're in a comfortable space, you know, not driving, and close your eyes and have a conversation with someone. And I think you're going to feel that you're going to connect in ways you hadn't thought of before. Maybe it's the you know, the sound of their voice, or the direction in which they're throwing their voice, or it's the noise in the background, or you know, where you are, or you know, you're getting a cocktail and you have to pick up the drink and not spill it on yourself when you take a sip. These are little things that actually enhance experiences beyond your comprehension until you do it. And so I highly recommend you do that as well as check out the blind goggles every once in a while.
Fascinating stuff. Just took them off, and we have another segment with Karen Lyle and our special guest, Walt Ranieri, in studio. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.
Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I'm sitting here with Chris Childers, who, among many other roles and talents, is a U.S. Sailing Adaptive Course instructor.
Yeah, hey, Karen. Great to be here. So U.S. Sailing obviously has a lot of programs to help out coaches around the country and around the world, for everything from our small boat level one, teaching folks how to teach kiddos in dinghies, to our keelboat instructor courses. The adaptive instructor workshop that we are checking out this weekend is focused on giving instructors of any discipline the tools to help more people participate in sailing, no matter what kind of challenges they face, be that physical, cognitive, developmental. We hope to give instructors and program volunteers the tools to make a boat more physically accessible, make their program feel more welcoming, and how to better serve not just sailors with challenges, but really everybody.
One of the things that I've really noticed as I've been taking this course with you, how many different ways in which sailing can be adapted to the individual needs of a person.
Yeah, you know, we like to say that all sailors use adaptations, right? Whether it's the 3-to-1 purchase on your dinghy main sheet, whether it's a pulley up at the top of the mast to get your halyard up. Everybody uses adaptations. Adaptive sailors use a couple more.
Instructors who are handling courses that have such a diversity of students in them really need a lot of support. How do you feel that this course gives that support?
You know, 1 in 6 Americans has a disability. Whether you teach for a facility that tends to see mostly able-bodied folks, or you're working with a program that specifically outreaches to populations with challenges, everybody can use these skills, whether it's making a boat more comfortable to sit in, figuring out how to safely get on and off boats, figuring out how to make your schedule more accessible so folks who have a harder time processing information can still look ahead to the day and know what to expect. All the things that we're learning here are elements of good programming, no matter who you're giving it to.
What do you feel is a takeaway that you want to have every instructor who attends this course take with them?
Yeah, that's a really good one. You know, at U.S. Sailing, we always say safety, fun, and learning. Safety comes first by a mile there. We find it's really, really important to show that safety is a really important element. And that's what I would hope everybody takes away from this, is it's not just what you're capable of, but it's how folks know that you're capable of doing that. Yeah, I can get anybody, no matter what kind of ability, into my boat, but being able to demonstrate that, do it professionally and do it safely, is the kind of welcoming and safe environment that we really hope all U.S. sailing instructors are able to provide.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to Sports Byline. Around the World on AFN and Coast to Coast Syndicated Radio. SailSportTalk.com on a Tuesday. We continue with the second segment with, of course, my co-host Karen Lyle and our special guest Walt Ranieri, the blind sailing champion. Walt, you said something very poignant there as we went to break and you put the glasses on me to, you know, have me appreciate all these things that we take for granted sometimes. But when I was in college, I had a teacher and she was deaf. And she asked us one time, you know, by writing it down, she said, would you rather be blind or deaf? And we all said, well, deaf, we don't want to be blind. And she said, I would rather be blind because I have no connection with human beings anymore. I can't talk to them. And yeah, I can see, but I feel like I'm not even a person anymore. And you were just saying the type of relationships you can have just by listening and talking. It made me think of her when you said that.
You know, that's a... Remember an interview with Stevie Wonder, and he said the same thing. The idea of connecting as human beings, we do so through our senses, through sight, sound, touch, taste, and smell. And you know that the order in which we use these things, it's vision first by a marathon mile, but the sound quality of how human beings connect is important. And you know, tactilely, it's also quite important. I often find that when someone on a boat's getting a little nervous, that just, you know, a reassuring touch on the shoulder to let them know that you know, they're focusing on something that's causing them a little anxiety, but, you know, we're right here. We're doing this together. And in fact, maybe that's a fun theme for this little part, is that going through this pandemic, you know, we're doing it together. We're going to come out of it together. And that really, I think, is helpful. Look at each other and see the examples of how we adapt to get through this stuff. And it's going to make it a little easier. You know, one of the things, talk about adapting. So we were in a race. It was the first race of this YRA double-handed series. And they had really long segments. So I think the first segment was 6.5 miles long. And We crossed the starting line in first, and it was like, okay, where's the mark? It's 6.5 miles away. There's no way you can see that. One of the first instances where there's been a very positive reference to that iconically tall building in downtown San Francisco called the Salesforce Tower. It was poking up through the fog, and I was talking to my sighted crew, and I said, well, we know the mark's over near the city front somewhere. Why don't you just point to the Salesforce Tower? And for 6.5 miles, we did. And it just so happened that with the flood and the south by southwest wind coming in with the storm, that we were on a long 6.5 mile tack, and pointing right at the Salesforce Tower brought us right to the mark. We rounded it and we ended up winning that race. And I attribute that to, you know, using what you have around you, including these iconic buildings that you don't even think you're going to use in that way until you have an opportunity to do so.
Wow.
Walt, you are a athlete for sure. And when you get to sail in the Bay Area, oftentimes you're sailing with sighted crew and against people who are able-bodied sailors who are not blind. And so winning that race, how many people were in that race?
So there were 83 boats in the big fleet. They had 10 different divisions, and you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, you have all these boats around you starting at different times, and you're not even sure how well you're doing until, you know, they do the time on time correction at the very end. But it's very exciting to have all those boats on the water.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the race that happened a year before, right before COVID broke out. It was in February of 2020, and you were in that race. Describe the conditions and how that race left you ready for the next race that got canceled, and you had to wait a year for it.
I mean, talk about heartbreak. So for those of you listening and the sailing racers out there, it is not against any racing rule to use an anchor in the middle of a race. I mean, imagine a sport where the playing field is moving on you such that you can't run fast enough to keep in place. So you actually throw an anchor out to prevent you from moving backwards. So in
is it like a sea anchor with like a big pouch?
No, this is an anchor.
It's a regular iron anchor.
A regular iron anchor that drops down to the bottom. So what happens in San Francisco Bay and Narragansett Bay and, you know, a lot of bays where there's current, there's if the wind isn't strong enough for the boat to sail against the current, then you will be sailing but moving backwards over the land.
Wow.
And since the marks are fixed, you have to make that decision. And this is what another one of those great adaptation moments where we started that race, and it was a perf race, a PHRF race. So it was kind of like a handicap. You know, the small boats are supposed to go smaller. The big boats are supposed to go bigger. So the big boats owe the small boats some time when they added up at the end. And we got all the way to the windward mark, and we put a clock on the second place boat in the fleet. And it took them a half an hour to get around that mark. So we figured we had a half an hour lead in that race. Huge, huge. And then the wind started to die. And we start bobbing with the flood and all the way down to the leeward mark, which is on the downside of the course. We then had is there any wind? Is there not enough wind? Because there was some wind, but is it enough to sail against the current? I had the anchor out and these agonizing decisions. We finally ended up saying, yep, put the anchor down. But we were 150 meters past the mark. The whole fleet caught us, and they saw what we did. And, you know, doink, they put their anchor right at the mark. And from being a half an hour ahead to being, you know, 10 minutes behind, we ended up taking second in that race after the wind picked up and we could pull the anchor. But was I itching for – that was in February of 2020. Was I itching to finish that race series with a final race in March? And it would have been the weekend right after everything shut down. And so for 14 months, we were waiting to get back on the water. So it was quite something to get out there with the double-handed crew. And you know, my kudos goes to some of those crews on those big boats. There's only two people on the boat. They actually had to have special rules added in the notice of race and sailing instructions that the big boats could have auto helm engaged. Usually you never let a sailor put on auto, but they were flying spinnakers, those big parachute-like sails that go in the front of the boat. And without the auto helm, I don't know how some of those big boats could have done it. So kudos to them. But, you know, some great learning experiences, and I'm going to share with all of you on our second race. When we were supposed to be the 10th fleet out of 10 fleets, the water in the bay was ebbing, which means it was flowing out of the bay. The water level was falling. And these big boats were supposed to go first, but where they had set the starting line, they were getting stuck in the mud right there off the Olympic Circle, Mark G, just off Berkeley. And the race committee, so there we were eating our sandwich, figuring with, you know, 10 races to go and 5 minutes per starting sequence. We had 55 minutes. Next thing we hear over the radio is they're going to flip the fleet. So we now go first. And it was like, okay. Just when you think you had an hour to sort of prepare, now you've got 15 minutes or less to prepare for your race. And that's when just being prepared and anticipate what might happen is what it's all about. In fact, I'll even give you a little acronym. All of you should write this down or think about it. It's called ASFAR. How far can you go with your career in sports, in talk radio, in sailing? As far as you want. As far is ASFAR. A is anticipate what can happen to you. S, sense the scene around you, whether it's professionally, athletically, weather-wise. F, be flexible in your mind. So don't be so hard set that you're I'm only going to do it this way when that way may not be the best way. A, adapt to the situation as it unfolds, and R, respond to things as they're happening around you. And I bet every professional athlete, every recreational athlete, every hiker, every almost any profession can use this acronym, ASFAR, to anticipate, sense, be flexible, adapt, and respond appropriately to get down your path in, you know, a safe and fun manner.
You know, so many words of wisdom there, but I got to say, I've been doing this. How long have we been doing this show, Karen?
It's our 120th or
okay,
something.
So well over 100 episodes, and I've talked to so many different sites. Never, ever, ever have I heard of a racer dropping an anchor. That's fascinating.
And that's the, it is very counterintuitive that you would drop an anchor to actually win the race. And mm-hmm. it's the appropriate manipulation of the anchor that really is kind of fun. And when I mention that to people who don't race in places where there's current, they're like, drop an anchor in the middle of a race? It's like, yep. And you'll win if you do it right. You know, I think the other thing that was very instructive was how everyone came together to do this race series. And now things are opening up, and we're kind of like on a little bumpy part here with the Delta variant and everything else. But how everyone came together and as a community moved forward so that we could all get back out there on the water. And it was about keeping safe, getting vaccinated to the extent that you can, and help everyone in the process. And I think that's really a key for us all is the teamwork, the community teamwork that we all come together to all be able to do what we can do.
That's great. We just have about a minute left. Go ahead, Karen.
So just a shout out to your sailing double-handed partner that was in this race. Tell us a little bit about him.
Oh, so imagine you're sailing with a blind guy. I can only imagine his anxiety. We had special protocols. I go, look, if you go overboard, I'm calling a mayday because I'll be sailing the boat by myself, and you'll be. I said, if you can. So we always carried two radios. I always said, if you're not knocked out, get on the radio and chat with me. But we actually have a protocol where if he can make a noise, make that noise, and I'll come pick him up in the sailboat. We've actually done some man overboard, person in water drills, which are very important just to be, have the flexibility and the experience to know what to do. Don't panic. And I think that was the last thing I told them is that how do you not panic? You can't just tell someone not to panic. You have to give them a tool. And the tool that I give people in my little safety talks is go through your resource list. What do you have available? You got a radio, and you got your life vest on, and the boat's not filling up with water. That's good. And once you go through that little resource list, you're going to find that you're thinking about that, and you're not thinking about panicking. And that I think is really helpful. And so, luckily, we never had any issue on the boat. I think that the most traumatic thing was in one race that took us four hours to complete for one 45-minute segment. There was no wind, and we were just bobbing in the current. And how do you stay focused on a razor's edge in a racer mentality when you're just bobbing like a cork in the water?
Absolutely amazing stuff, and not just about sailing, but about life and philosophy and everything else. Walt Ranieri, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rick. Great to be on the show.
Karen, good job. We'll see you next week,
Rick.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. How do I follow that? Come on back.